Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hey, good morning, everybody. In internet land, this here is Russ from RST Coaching Academy, host of Money Talks, for another episode of the famous Money Talks program, where we talk about money, how to make more of it. And today I'm going to introduce to you my new friend from Sweden. His name is Jonas Breisel, and he is a software man. He's in the software industry over there in Sweden, and he's got some stories to tell and some information to pass on to you folks. So be listening. Enjoy his accent. I think he's going to speak English the whole time, but obviously he knows Swedish and a whole bunch of it. But anyway, Jonas, appreciate you coming on today. It's going to be a fun time, and we'll get acquainted a little bit more, and we want to hear what you're all about, where you've come from, and the Jonas story, okay? So we'll turn it over to you. I'll interrupt you from time to time, probably to ask a question or something, whatever, and we'll go from there, all right? So take care. Thank you, and come on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Tack så mycket.
Yeah,
I would say in Swedish.
Yeah, tack så mycket. That's what my wife says. She's, you know, like, yeah. I say, I just told Jonas, folks, that my wife is 100% Swede too. So she knows that word tack så mycket means thank you.
Yes. Yeah, and as you said, I've been in the software industry for 13 years. And I worked as a consultant all the time. And it started out, first of all, I had a hard time to get my first job at all. Since I was done in the last recession with my education, and no one wanted to employ a newly educated person. It took 2 years to get my first job.
Oh, wow. So you studied what in Sweden then? Computer programming or system design or software design? Or
no, applied physics and electrotechnics.
The what?
Applied physics and electrotechnics, a master in that.
Oh my goodness, that's right over my head.
Okay. Yeah. But so then when I didn't get a job, I took some programming courses. And that's how I ended up in the software industry.
So you got into there instead of the applied whatever you said, all that stuff. That I understand, because I come from the software, computer programming and consulting background also. So it took you 2 years to get a job. Did you start out looking for work in what your field of studies was, correct? And or did you just go straight into the software industry?
I went straight into the software industry. So due to the programming courses I had added on, they hired me, and my first assignment was both programming and testing.
Okay, got it. So yeah, that you know, looking back, you probably think, well, why did it even study all that other stuff? Because it has it even paid off? But you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to answer that question, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I've had the thought many times, especially since I started my own company and started by a lot of good courses. Yeah, I mean, just in the few last years, I have learned more than I did during that entire period. That is much longer.
Oh, so 2 years, 2 years to get your first job. And sounds like now you've got your own company.
Yes.
When did you start that?
4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And that was the best decision I ever made. So, and I did it for three reasons. It was one, that I wanted to earn more money. And the second one was that I wanted to decide which educations I were going to invest in myself. And the third one was that I wanted to educate more. And that's what my company have been about. It's both consulting services and education services.
Now, I understand the consulting part, but what does the education part of the software industry mean?
It means that I train other people in software testing. So
Okay.
I have so some people have one course that you can become a software tester in only 9 weeks. And then I have some other courses where you get specialized within software testing.
I see. So this is that you're teaching people how to become a tester. In other words, what you're doing is you're teaching people how to break the program, aren't you?
Yeah,
Yep.
exactly.
How to find the holes in the
Yeah.
program. So you're looking for the bad parts of a particular program and how to cause it not to work. I remember years ago, when I was doing some contract computer programming, I was working for a fellow that was in a ho worked at a hospital near where I lived, and he said he wanted this program to be so resilient that even a monkey could operate it, that it
Yeah.
would be just so foolproof, you know. And I tell you, that was a real challenge to me because I hadn't been that precise, I guess, up till then, but it's like, man, oh man, this is really how it ought to be. And so that's what you're training these people to do, is find the bugs, find the problems, so they can go back to the developers, right, and fix that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about that's an one important aspect of this, but it's many others important aspects as well. So, for example, when you have found this bug, how do you deliver that information? I mean, I could come up to you as a developer and tell you, this sucks. Why have you done like this? Or I could come and say, I've found something here. You maybe want to look at it. It's like the same thing, but you would react really differently.
I suppose every time the tester would walk into the developer's room, and the developer's eyes would just roll, and as they say, oh no, here he comes again with another problem, huh?
Right, sometimes it have been like that. But I would say developers' mindset also have changed quite much. In the beginning, it was more like, no, that's not a problem. Today they are more like, okay, let's go and have a look. And they want to solve the problems before the end user gets the product.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. And so they the testers have basically proven their worth, I guess, in the whole process then, as part of a development project, isn't it? It's not just something that is maybe looked upon previously as a waste of money and time, but I think
Yes.
maybe more now they're saying, you know, we've got to get this. We got to get this tested. We have to make this bulletproof, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it started to come a lot more standards and things to follow as well, even for web applications that they need to be, what do you say? Yes. Person with a bad sight, for example, can view the web page and use it and things like this. That's like a new handicap that we not have had before.
Oh wow. So this job, this industry, this business has been good to you, huh?
Yes.
Yep. And are all of your clients Swedish? Are they all from Sweden?
So far, yes. I have had a couple of leads from different countries that have been interested in my courses as well.
I see. Okay. And so you are establishing yourself as a tester's trainer, it sounds like.
Yes.
Is that's how you're marketing yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I push quite much for this. I call it the 9 week software tester.
And how do
And as
you
you,
go ahead?
and as you were into, like, there are no real training for testers. You can't go and take a master in software testing as you can for a developer. So I used to say they come from like two different spots. One is, as you said, that testing is not is so important. So, okay, we need to do testing. There on the parking lot, we have a guy, bring him in. He can sit here and do some stuff. Or as me, that had taken a master in something else and sat massa tester.
Well, the thing about the person in the parking lot, though, is that individual is going to be more like the end user, or a normal end user that's going to come in not knowing the program at all and has to walk through it and discover this and that about it.
Yes.
So how does the testing differentiate then from that, from just the person off the street that, who buys this finished product and has to learn how to use it and who may identify problems along the way? How does the professional tester differ from that?
Yeah, first of all, you need to really understand what software testing is. It's a lot more than just playing around with a product. It's really hard to just summarize it in a few sentences, but my best try is that software testing is about collecting quality-related information and hand it over to someone that cares about this information so they can make an informed decision if we are going to release the product or not. So that's like the first part. Then you need to have a software tester's mindset where you are really good at creativity to come up with new test ideas. And then you also need to have a critical thinking. So you, as you were into, are able to find these bugs and not just like, oh, okay, it was a little bit, but we don't care about it. You actually dare to go and say that this is not good. And then you have like technical and practical thinking, which is developed during your entire career, where you need to learn different tools to be able to do certain things, especially if you want to do test automation. So there are many things to learn. Today, you almost need to be a programmer if you do test automation.
I mean, that's not what you started when you embarked in the software industry. When you got that job after 2 years of looking around, that's not what you were doing right away, is it? Was testing, or is it?
Yeah, it was the absolute first task I did was crash tests of cars. So that was really fun to get paid to destroy cars. And the second one was the one I mentioned where I was both working with developing and testing.
Okay. So was it when you were looking for work after school, was it in the testing field that you were looking to get into, to specialize in, or did you just kind of fall into that because that's the first company that hired you was for this particular position?
Yeah, I'd rather fall into it. So I went to a student, what do you say, a fair, and there I ran into a consultant company that wanted to employ me.
And they said, and this is what we want you to do. We want you to test our product. And you said, okay, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and evidently you've seen the benefit of a professional tester. And then did you study? Did you take any classes or training on how to be a tester? And then how to be able to teach others to become
Yes.
a tester, or did you develop all this yourself?
I would say a mix of both, but the most important have been to take courses and learn from others. So like 5 years in my career, I found out about, let's say networks out that you could join and go to events outside working hours.
Uh-huh.
So we have two here in Gothenburg where I live, for example. And there you learned a lot from others in the industry that were good at testing and can bring that back with you and try it for yourself.
I see. And you took courses, you said, too. So those
yeah,
are readily,
exactly.
huh?
Yes, exactly. So I learned, for example, how to do exploratory testing in a good way. And stuff is really important. That is the part you mentioned where you really find the bugs. And to be good at exploratory testing, you need to be really good at being creative and really want to explore the product.
I see. All right. So there's actually courses out there that a person can take to become a software tester.
Yes.
Yeah, what would a person Google to do that?
A software tester, I would say, is the most common, and maybe software tester training or something like that.
Okay, like software testing training, for example.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Is that people, there might be people in the audience thinking, you know, I might be interested in pursuing this as a possible career. And so this would be a place where people could start.
Yes.
Kind of getting ahead of myself, but if there is such a person, could they contact you somehow for maybe some advice how to get into this? Have you got like email address or a website?
Yeah, I have a yeah. I mean, in my web place, you can find a link to book you a 30-minute free Zoom call with me, where I give advice on what you could do, what's best for you.
What is the website?
Oh, it's my company name, and that is exploraforitest.com. Not the easiest.
Say that
It's
again.
it is exploratory, but
Okay.
without an E, and the T is turned to an F instead.
Exploratory
Test.com.
test.com.
And instead of a T in the end, they say it is an F, so Explora 40 test.
Oh, aren't you creative? Okay, does exploratory have a special meaning?
No, it's just a word I come up with that
Okay.
for my company name.
All
So
right.
it's exploraforitest.com is my web page, and there you can book a free call with me.
Right. Okay, folks, so that's exploratory, except without the E, and instead of the T, it's an F. So it's exploraforytest.com. And you
Yes.
could book a call. Book a call with Jonas if you've got any questions. You want some more information about that. He's got a link on there when you can book a 30-minute call and pick his brain a little bit. So anyway, back to you and your situation, your business. What kind of growing pains have you been through as you were getting this ramped up here the last 4.5 years?
The two biggest obstacles have been marketing and selling. I was not good at that at all. So that's why I've been taking courses in that and also help.
Well, and I guess those have paid off.
Yes, they have been really good and helpful.
Yep. And I know that you're involved with Grant Cardone Coaching Services, and that's what I do also. So I hope you're going to say that the coaching that has been provided to you through the Grant Cardone system has been very beneficial. I hope.
Yes,
Whatever.
that definitely learned me how to sell and
Yeah.
really changed my mind about what selling is.
Well, you know, it's selling, marketing is one thing because that's where we get the prospect's attention. We get the customer's attention that we're in the world, you know, we've got a brand and we're advertising and we've got a product to so on and so forth. That's the marketing, is to get that attention. And then comes the selling part. Well, a lot of people, they fall on their faces regarding the selling part. And I maintain that it's because people don't know what they're doing. It's very simple. The process is very simple. It can be complicated, but it's specific steps to go through and procedures and things, processes to follow. And so once you've got the knowledge and the training, I'm sure you're going to agree, and you know what to say and how to handle things, it's just automatic, isn't it? It's not a big deal.
Yes, it's a huge difference, and yeah, and how you think, especially that you want to find out what the person actually is interested in, and not just trying to push them on your product.
That's a big point right there, is that we are as salespeople, We are really here to serve our client, our customer, and not ourselves. We'll get taken care of if we do the good job serving them. And so it's like you say, it's what they're interested in, what their needs are, and instead of just, well, this is my product here, take it or leave it. It's,
Yeah.
well, sir, well, ma'am, what is it that you need? And would you say that as you've learned this process, marketing and then sales, that you're able to handle situations better because you've got a better idea of what you can say and what the customer is likely to say, and then how you can respond? Have you got that kind of mapped out in your head
Yes,
better than you ever did before?
definitely.
A lot of people, they think, I can do this. I don't need training. I don't need help. I can sell stuff. And then they wonder why they fall on their faces because they don't know what they're doing. I've heard it said that a lot of people, a lot of salespeople don't like what they're doing. They don't like selling. And I maintain that it's because they don't know what they're doing. They didn't do what you and I have done, and that's taken the time to go through the training process and a coaching process in order to get proficient at what we're about. And I understand that a lot of software guys, computer programmers, and so on are a little more reserved, a little more quiet, and so find it a little more difficult to extend themselves to, I don't know, be conversational, whatever. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you found that hard? They call us computer geeks, and we know the computer stuff, but we don't know people. And that's what you are learning right now, is the people part of things, with the marketing and the selling part. And that's what I've learned and teach people as well. So I think, there's introverts and there's extroverts. And you probably heard the expression, well, he's a natural born salesperson. Well, people usually say that about somebody because they can talk, 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 talk. But haven't you found that the best salesperson is going to be one who listens, listens, listens instead of talk, talk, talk?
Yes, definitely.
And so, because of that, I believe that a person who's not so, what, flashy and flamboyant and everything can actually do a better job than the flash in the pan, because they come across more sincere. I see that in you. I see a sincerity in you, and you don't need to be bouncing off the walls in order to be projecting that. Am I making sense? Does that you follow that?
Yes.
So
Yeah,
I
and
think,
I'm
go ahead.
I mean, yeah, and I am an introvert from the beginning, but I've learned to be, yeah, go outside, as you say, and talk. And yeah, you have to learn that if you're going to have a company. And as well, when you are teaching, for example, you also are in like everyone's attention.
Wow, yeah, you're maybe standing in front of a group of people, and you've got to overcome that. But folks, I guess what I'm getting at here, audience, is that you don't have to be the proverbial born salesman to excel in sales. You just need to have some proper training and a teachable mindset, a teachable attitude, and you can learn what you need to learn in order to be proficient and successful at selling, just like Jonas has done. He's had to learn how to step out of himself, step away from his computer, and step into conversation with people that might have been pretty uncomfortable to start. But I think you're finding it a little easier to do now after all this time, wouldn't you say?
Yes,
Yeah.
definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have trouble starting out, but then we're hoping, of course, that we're going to get past the hump, so to speak. And I think you've got past the hump. And so I think, is that a something that you can pass on to people as by way of advice and encouragement is get past the
Yes,
hump.
definitely. You need help. It's really hard to do everything by yourself
Very
when you start
true.
a company.
Yeah,
And
very true.
the fun thing is that all different courses I've taken in all different things, I have use of it as a software tester as well. Since one important thing I learned about selling as well is that every situation you end up in is selling. So, for example, if I'm going to convince my friend to go to cinema, then I need to sell that idea to him or her.
Isn't that something? We are all in sales. I asked you if you were married. You said no. Well, I'm married and I had to sell my wife on marrying me.
Yeah.
So that was a sales situation, basically, without, getting paid for it, but in sales. That's the point I'm trying to make here, is that everybody's in sales, no matter what line of work we have to do. Anything else you can offer the audience by way of encouragement or advice, whether even if it's not anything to do with this profession, software testing, but just things in business and so on in general.
Yeah, I would say I like to set goals, both short and on long term, and also create maybe a vision board so you really can see it in front of you. And if you want to start your own business, you should not be afraid of doing it. It's only your own mind that is stopping you, I would say.
So you got to be kind of a risk taker, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
And one thing I learned is that when you feel uncomfortable, that you are going outside your comfort zone, then you know that you are on the right path because then you are growing as a person.
Ooh, so being uncomfortable is a good thing,
Yeah.
right?
Yes. Otherwise, you just stay in like the status quo bubble, you could say, where things are as they always have been.
Well, that's very true. If we stay in our comfort zone, we are not going to grow, are we?
No.
Ooh. So that's also where the risk comes in too. We've got to be willing to risk stepping out of our comfort zone and
Yeah.
be willing to face whatever challenges that stepping out might lead us to. Good point. Good
Yeah, and
point.
another thing that follows in that I also got as advice is that, oh, but it is a bit tough now. I will wait until the summer, and then the summer comes. Oh, it's a bit tough now. I will wait after the summer, then it gets easier. It's never getting easy. It's always hard. You just get better at handling hard.
So put that in a nutshell.
Life is always hard, and it will not be easier if you wait.
Won't be easy.
And
You won't.
when you grow as a person, you will be better at handling these hard things that's going on.
Yeah, I suppose you could say, why put it off? Why not do it now? Why not get started now? Because is it going to be any easier? Right, probably not. It might even be,
No.
it's hard to say,
Yeah, and everyone have their own lid, so to say, what you are able to handle. I know another guy I've been following in US. He said that, for example, he could never take Richard Branson's Bradshaw's role. He has like 200 companies, the Virgin Group, and this, and he has a lot of lawsuits on him all the time. As I said, I could never handle that. But I can handle being at my level where I have a couple of million dollar companies. So that's like what I can handle. So Yeah, it's always, and that comes back to goals. Do you want to have, are you satisfied with having companies that do a couple of millions in US dollars, or do you strive for billions, or yeah, what is your goals?
Well, I guess we start where we're at, and then we
Yeah.
grow into where we're going. We grow into what we're becoming. Do you have an employees? Are you a one man band, or what?
No, I have one full-time employee that's working as a consultant and also helping out a little bit with educations.
Got it. Okay.
Then I have two girls that works on an hourly basis. So they work like 1 or 2 days per week with marketing.
I see. So they're doing some marketing for you. What kind of marketing are you involved in?
My biggest channel is LinkedIn, and then I'm also using Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Well, you're using TikTok, huh?
Yeah, we thought that that could be a good way to attract younger people.
I bet so. Has it worked?
Always, just started out, so we are not have, so we're still building our brand there, you could say.
That's a different world, that TikTok thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think like Instagram is trying to follow their lead there, aren't they, with their reels or their shorts or whatever they call them. So they've got the quick little videos, and then you go on to the
Yeah.
next. Kind of the same thing. And I've heard, that LinkedIn is probably the platform for business to business. Have you found that true for yourself?
Yes, it's the easiest to find the new connections there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you put out a really good ad on Facebook, for example, or Instagram, it's easy, you can find people there, man, because those that drive a business, they hang around there as well.
Are you paying for like Facebook ads or Instagram ads?
Yes, we do that sometimes to drive people to like webinars.
I see. Webinars, that means you are doing webinars?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, you really are out of your introvert world, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. So do the webinars, they consist of like the training of the testing,
Yes, it is about
or
how you can become a software tester in only 9 weeks and get the life you always dreamed about, where you earn more and spend less time working and more
perfect.
time with things you care about and so on.
That's really great. Are you doing you have a number of different webinars that you do, or are you doing the same one pretty much over and over again?
This one is the one I do most of, but I have done a couple of others as well, and I have given some business also. So the plan is to mix it up even more going to forward. But I also learned that try focusing on one part at a time.
It's hard to do a lot of this different stuff being just one person, but if
Yeah.
you've got the helpers like those two part-time people that help you in the marketing, that they're worth their weight in gold, because
Yeah.
they'll offload you. You can just sit in your Oval Office and come up with ideas, and then have them put them out there in the marketing world. So
Yeah.
anything else that you want to just pass on here as we're winding down?
No, I think I mentioned most things I've come up with.
Interesting career choice. I mean, that you fell into. That's
Yeah.
what's really interesting, and you found it to be appealing. And you've adapted to it, and you found it to be successful.
Yeah, and one thing to add on there is that when I had been working in this assignment, both as developer and tester for like 2 years, I found an article in a IT magazine that was writing an article about a software tester. And when I read that one, I felt that, yeah, this is what I want to do. Because when I started out, it was a bit like you said, that as a developer, you had high status, and as a tester, you were way down on the floor.
Oh no,
But
it
then I felt that, no, this is me. I've always been curious and wanted to learn more, and that's what software testing is about.
And I imagine it's not a real overcrowded industry either, is it?
No, it's a huge need of more people.
Well, yeah, so that's a good opportunity for you. And if you want to grow your business, your company, and expand with other people, then you've got you might have you find more demand for your services, then you've got the ability to meet that demand without adding more people. Is
Yes.
that true? Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
What a problem you're going to love to have.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we can close this out. Again, folks, I just want you to know how to reach Jonas over there in Sweden. It's exploratory test. Dot com. Drop the E from the first part and then replace the T with the letter F, and you've got exploratory test.com. And you can sign on and schedule a 30-minute chat with him if you've got any questions about this thing. And you know what? And he teaches people how to be testers, so he could hook you up and teach you everything you need to know based on everything that he has learned along the way. So anyway, with that, folks, I think we'll call this a day here, and appreciate you stopping by to tune in to listen to and watch Money Talks. Jonas, thank you for contacting me and indicating your interest to be on the program and the information that you've shared, the new concept as far as in the software industry and the area of tester and testing. That's really great. And the tips that you put forth, Jonas, setting goals. Don't be afraid to be a risk taker. Be sure and be willing to step out of your comfort zone and do it now, because it's probably not going to get easier down the road.
Yeah.
Sound right? Like pretty much what
Yeah.
you were saying, Jonas, right? So
Yeah, have a good summer.
good deal. So, with that, folks, we'll say over and out, and thank you until next time on Money Talks. Take care. Till then, bye-bye.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.